Welcome. And thank you for joining the Father's Vineyard podcast. We are located at 724 Oakland Road in Spindale, North Carolina, and invite you to join us.
We are a church that loves God, loves people, and makes a difference.
Now, let's join today's service.
All right, let's welcome Brother Andy Evans. He's going to come and minister this morning. Amen. Just come on, brother. Amen. Thank God for him.
Amen. That was good. You know, sometimes we'll look at the youth and the children and we'll say, well, that's the church of the next generation. No, it's not. That's the church of today. I don't believe God looks at the age groups of the church of any generation. He looks at the church of today. Amen? And if you can't preach after that, you need to go home. Amen. Amen. Psalms 122. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. What makes a building the house of the Lord? Look at your neighbor. You know, before Jesus came, the manifest presence of the Lord dwelt between the cherubim. Where does it dwell today? Right here. What makes this building the house of the Lord? I'll say the same thing. Look at your neighbor. The Spirit is in you. If we wasn't here, He wouldn't be here. He's here because we're here. We are the dwelling place of the Lord. That makes this the house of the Lord. I praise God for His people. Without you, we wouldn't be His church. I praise God for you. Amen. Today's Pastor Appreciation Day. Yes. Amen. And I'm humbled to have this opportunity. First, to lift up the name of my Savior, who's everything. He's everything to me. I trust He's everything to you. And I'm also thankful for this opportunity to show my great appreciation to my pastor and Miss Brenda. Share some scriptures, and I believe the Lord has very graciously given me something to share this morning. I know Terry will appreciate this. I don't want to share anything if He doesn't give it to me. A few things. The first thing is in Ephesians 4. And I'm going to share a few verses, 7 and 8, to begin with. But grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore it says, when He ascended on high, He led a host of captives and he gave gifts to men. Now I'm going to drop down to verse 11. And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and teachers. Now let's look at those for just a few minutes. Verses 7 and 8 says he gave gifts to men immersed in grace. Gifts immersed in grace are pretty good gifts. Immersed in grace means that they are saturated. Saturated's a good word. You ever had biscuits and gravy? Who doesn't like biscuits and gravy? Saturated. Well, that's what Jesus did with those gifts. He saturated them in grace. Those gifts. And verse 11 tells us what those gifts were. Not only what they were, but what they are. And there are five of them. Gifts four and five are sometimes so close together that they almost become one sometimes. And they blend seamlessly sometimes. Now Jesus, who gave the gifts, is the only man who ever possessed all five of those gifts simultaneously. Think about that. All at once, he walked with all five of those gifts simultaneously without measure. He could do that. We can't. There's no man alive who ever walked, who walks today, who will ever walk, can have all five at once. It would blow him up. He can't do it. So Jesus gave gifts. He's the standard for all five. So I think it's fitting that he's the one who gave the gifts. And he gave them to man. So why did he give them? Why did he choose to give those gifts? Well, it tells us in verse 12 and 13. Let me read this to you. And I'm going to go slow. I may even read it twice. For the equipping of the saints, for the work of service, to the building up of the body of Christ. Until, that little five-letter word, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. Did you get it? Do you want me to read it again? Okay, I will. He gave them for the equipping of the saints, for the work of service. Service to the building up of the body of Christ. That's us, the church, until we all attain, till we reach to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. Now I have a question. Has the church reached that lofty station yet? That means we still need the gifts. We're not going to reach that station until he comes back. So these gifts are needed. And they're always going to be needed. That's why he gave the gifts. Isn't he good? All the time. He knew we were going to need this. And before he left, before he ascended, he knew we were going to need it. So he gave us gifts. He gave us gifts. They're still necessary. Now, the Greek word for pastor in this scripture was poimen. And as far as I know, in my limited scope, that's the only place in scripture that poimen was translated pastor. Everywhere else, it's shepherd. But I think those two words are interchangeable. They literally mean the same thing. A pastor shepherds. And we're going to look at that in a little more in depth this morning. But it's shepherd. But it's significant that Jesus included pastor, shepherd, as one of the five gifts, along with teacher, to give to the church as a gift, all wrapped up. Nobody can rap like Jesus. You ever got a gift from Jesus? Can't he rap good? Doesn't he rap bows? Doesn't he do good bows? You ever got something all wrapped up with a bow from Jesus? Isn't it good? Don't you like unwrapping it? Nobody does it like Jesus. Nobody. Now, there's a story, there's a passage that I think demonstrates the pastoral side of Jesus in a way that just unloads how Jesus can pastor, how he does things. You know, and it, church, it would do all of us really well if we would go through the Gospels and just look for the things that Jesus does in a pastoral way. Because nobody can take care of us like Jesus. Nobody. The way he cares for us, the way he looks out for our best interest. Have you ever been in a mess and all of a sudden you start to look at how things have been taken care of that you didn't really think about how it was being done, and suddenly you realize that all along that journey, Jesus has been coming along behind you, cleaning up after you. How did that get took care of? Yesterday, that was a big mess. And now it's cleaned up. I didn't do it. Jesus does it. Mark 4, verse 35 through 41. We'll begin with 35. On that day, when evening came, he said to them, "Let us go over to the other side." Leaving the crowd, they took him along with them in the boat, just as he was, and other boats were with him. Let's stop there for a moment. In the preceding passages, Jesus had just taught several kingdom parables, the mustard seed, the sower, etc. There's a couple others. And when he was ready to leave, he gets in the boat with the disciples. It says they took him in the boat. They didn't drag him in, though. He got in on his own. This wasn't a special limo boat, by the way. It's just a boat. just like everybody else rowed in. He got in the boat with them. He was a man of the people. And notice that the congregation went with him. Because it says there were other boats. Verse 36, other boats were with him. So he took the congregation with him. So there was koinonia fellowship going on. Now I know you all have heard this word before, but koinonia is a special word. It means community. It means shared life. Now if you look around this room, there's a lot of folks in here. And then there's smaller groups maybe that you get together, and sometimes there's sometimes when we have a meal down in the fellowship hall, we get together, but we share life together. We are interested in each other's lives. When somebody's sick or somebody needs help, we come in together and we help one another. That's sharing life together. That's koinonia. Well, you see this in verse 36. He got in the boat with his disciples. There were other boats. And so they all went together. That's a congregation when you look at it in those terms. So Jesus took the congregation and they went together. Now let's go to 37 and 38. Now look what happens to the congregation as they go together. And there arose a fierce gale of wind, and the waves were breaking over the boat, so much that the boat was already filling up. Jesus himself was in the stern, asleep on the cushion. And they woke him and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we're perishing?" We're getting news from just one of the boats. And it happens to be the boat that's closest to Jesus. That's kind of the way it is, isn't it? Even in our modern churches, the ones that are closest to the pastor are the ones that'll start giving him the feedback. Chew on that for just a second while I get a drink of water. I'm sure all the other boats are panicking as well, but in the storm, Jesus can't hear them. But says he's in the stern. Well, for those of you that know anything about boats, the stern is the back of the boat. They call it the aft, stern. But notice that the stern is also where the rudder's at. And that's where the steering is done. That's where the pastor should be. That's where Jesus is. There's a little bit going on in this little passage, if you look. But notice what Jesus is doing. He's in the steering compartment. He's asleep. He knows his boat. He's got a pillow. He knows his boat. He knows the condition of his boat. He's asleep. He's resting. You get the picture. I wonder who woke him up. My thoughts, probably Peter. I'm just guessing. But look at what they said. Teacher, don't you care? You've probably never heard that, Terry. Don't you care? Don't you care that we're perishing? Don't you realize what's going on? The boat's filling up with water. We're getting ready to go down. They've completely forgotten what he's done in the past. He's healed the sick. The leper's been completely cleansed. He's fed the 5,000. Everything that he's done has completely been blocked out of their minds. All they know now is that the storm is raging. The boat's filling up with water, and he's asleep. They don't even stop to think that if he's sleeping, maybe everything might be okay. You know, sometimes, y'all, and I'm including myself in this, sometimes we forget who he is. We've been riding high for 6-8 months, maybe. We've seen God do wonderful things. We've seen him give the increase. We've seen all that he can do, and suddenly things aren't going our way. And we say, God, don't you care? Don't you care? Of course he cares. Of course he cares. But it's so easy sometimes, our flesh. No wonder he says you got to pick up your cross daily. No wonder he says you got to die to your flesh. No wonder he keeps reminding us of these things. I'm being honest. I went through one of those flesh things about 4 days ago. Because I've still got plenty of it. No matter how much weight I lose, I still got plenty. And it's still plenty to get rid of until we cross over. There's going to be some to get rid of. But here's this story. Jesus is asleep. Don't you care that we're about to die? Don't you care that we're about to go see Abraham and be in his bosom? See, that's where they're at. He's not died yet. All right. Verse 39. And he got up and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, hush, be still. And the wind died down and it became perfectly calm. 3 words. Hush, be still. And it became perfectly calm. Now, if you ever seen this little video, there's a pastor that was from L.A. He's dead now. S.M. Lockridge. It's called That's My King. Pharisees couldn't stop him, and the grave couldn't hold him. That's my king. Look it up on YouTube. If you want to get stirred, that'll stir you. That's my king. Hush. Be still. And then he said to them, verse 40, why are you afraid? Do you still have no faith? And they became very much afraid and said to one another, who then is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? They're still afraid now. They're not afraid of the storm anymore. Now they're afraid of the one that can stop it. Isn't that amazing? You're in a storm and it's about to swamp your boat, and then suddenly the man you've been following stands up and says, "Hush, be still," and it stops. Now you're afraid of the one that stopped it. Who is this? Who is this man that can speak to nature and stop it? Have you ever had an experience with God or something he did that was so supernatural, so out of your realm of understanding of this natural world, and then he did something that just completely blew your mind? That's a good phrase, isn't it? You ever had your mind blown? And you go, "What just happened? That cannot happen. That does not happen in this world." And then that scared you. Listen, y'all, we serve a supernatural God. If your experience with him is not supernatural, you're in trouble. He is supernatural. And if you are not in a relationship with a supernatural God, you need to start checking yourself and praying harder, doing something. I'm not being critical, because I'm like you. I've been there. But he is supernatural. I believe he wants to be supernatural in your life. He does. Back to the gifts. He gave gifts: apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher, or shepherd. I like shepherd because it creates an acronym that I came across years ago, and it's APEST: apostle, prophet, evangelist, shepherd, teacher. APEST. Helps me remember it. I'm sorry, Terry. It works. Okay. I'll move on. But that's why he gave the gifts. He knew we needed it. We need apostles. We need prophets. Real ones. Real ones. You know, in Hebrews 11, it talks about those things, and a lot of those aren't even named. But we need them for the body to elevate us, to encourage us, to shock us, to bring us into awe. And we need pastors. We need them. They are very much afraid. More afraid now than they were of the storm. But the rage of the storm must bend the knee to the command of the king. Thank you, brother. I need a pastor. Thank you. A few more short scriptures, and I'm going to be done here in just a second. In John, and this will kind of solidify the passage that I just did. John 10:7, Jesus said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep." A pastor is a door. He watches what comes in and comes out. My sheep hear my voice. I know them and they follow me. Good shepherd. Seeing the people, he felt compassion for them because they were distressed and dispirited like sheep without a shepherd. He felt compassion. Compassion means with suffering. He suffered with them. And finally in John 10:11, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. A pastor lays down his life in a very meaningful way for his congregation. I have benefited greatly from the pastoral gifting of Pastor Terry and Brenda. I think back almost 29 years now, Terry. We have had hundreds, maybe 1,000 conversations. Spiritual conversations. Conversations about movies like Tombstone. I had never seen that movie, but because of your memory, used to quote huge chunks of that movie. I knew the movie before I ever saw it. But I was discipled by you. And in closing, I'm going to have an opportunity to say something you said to me many times. I'm your Huckleberry. I love you, brother.
Amen. Let's give Brother Andy a hand. Thank you for the word, brother. Teaching us about the good shepherd. Amen. I don't know what was that Huckleberry. Oh, okay. That must be the inside story, right? No. We just thank God for you, for Pastor Terry and Miss Brennan. We just have a few other things we want to do for them. At this time, we have a video that we're going to show that's presented to you and Miss Brenda from the church, the Father's Vineyard family here, okay?
Today we say thank you
for being there in the good times, for being there in the bad, and for simply just being there. Pastor Terry, thank you.
All that you've done, I will thank you.
Oh. I love you, Pastor Terry.
Thank you, Pastor Terry, for always being there while I walk in the church.
Thank you, Pastor Terry.
Thank you.
I love you, Pastor Terry.
Pastor Terry, we love you.
Thank you.
That is Pastor Terry.
Yeah. Thank you. I hope you come back soon.
Thank you, Pastor Terry.
I love you, Pastor Terry.
Thank you, Pastor Terry.
Thank you, Pastor Terry.
How is that better?
Where do cow tits come from?
Where?
The dairy.
Thank you, Pastor.
Pastor Terry.
Thank you. Thank you.
We love you, Pastor Terry.
Thank you, Pastor Terry. Thank you, Pastor Terry.
Thank you, Pastor Terry.
Thank you.
Thank you to all our pastors.
Remember your leaders, those who spoke to you the word of God. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith.
Think of love.
Yeah, think of joy.
Think of laughter.
Servanthood and brotherly love.
His passion.
True grace and love.
Pastor Terry, we love you. Here's our words for you. Authentic. Oh, wait a minute. For me, you're the real deal. Authentic.
Pastor Terry, thank you for being funny. We love you.
Loving, serving shepherds.
Faith and hope and the love you show to us.
Think of his labor of love for his people.
Think of love, kindness, and dedication.
Pastor Terry is a superhero.
My gift from God.
He's a dad to always lean on.
Sure does know how to serve.
It's funny and good, Pastor.
Thank you, Pastor Terry.
Thank you, Pastor Terry.
I think he's authentic.
I think he's very faithful. He's very humble.
A great leader.
That's Fox. Shepherd. Thoughtful. Wise. The love of Christ.
Funny. Kind.
Commitment.
Think of boldness.
When I think of Brenda Howe, I think of a stoic warrior, someone who's compassionate with people, yet also stern with the enemy. She's a great woman of God.
Think of Miss Brenda, I think of kindness.
When I think of Brenda Howe, there are two words that come to mind, velvet and steel. She's a woman of deep and unconditional love and a woman of great strength and integrity.
When I think of Brenda Howell, I think of a seasoned woman of God. She is a good, trusted mentor, and she's a friend. For a person who originally did not want to be a pastor's wife, she's basically killing it.
I think of her grace and her steadfastness.
I think of her beauty, her confidence, and her strong faith.
I think of strength, integrity, and full of peace.
Her encouragement in the healing room has been a blessing.
I think of her boldness, her strength.
I think of her love for others and her devotion.
When I think of Brenda Howe, I think of a quiet storm. Not the kind that comes to destroy, but the quiet storm that brings correction, enlightenment, and encouragement.
Brenda has more favor and grace by our Lord Jesus
than anyone I know.
During this Pastor's Appreciation Month, we wanted to thank you as a team for all the wisdom, the love, and we've learned so much about mercy and kindness and love for one another and got so much unity. It's just amazing.
Pastor Terry, one word, Ward. Miss Brenda, one word, June. Cleaver.
Thinking about your service, three words come to my mind: loyal, fierce, and loving.
When I think of Terry and Brenda Howell, I think of the best leaders, the best mentors, the best friends, and the best parents that a son could ever have.
I agree wholeheartedly, and I could not ask for better parents than love who truly exude the Christian values and the godly hearts that all of us should strive to have, and I couldn't be more blessed to call them parents in love and to be married to the son that they have raised in Christian walk. I think that Father's Vineyard is just as blessed to have them, and we love you both.
Love you.
Thank you, Pastor Terry.
Love you. Amen. Come on, let's give them a hand. Amen. Thank you so much. Just thank God for them. Amen. All right. At this time, we do have a presentation for you and Miss Brenda. We have one for Miss Brenda, and then we have one for Pastor Terry. If you will, you can just set them here. They're a little bit heavy. So we'll point out the one. This is Miss Brenda's, okay, and this is Pastor Terry's. All right, so this is a presentation from us, amen, the staff and the church family here at Father's Vineyard, amen? All right, thank you so much. All right, can we want to hear from you guys now at this time? Okay.
Thank you so much. A lot of people don't know me, and they think I'm just real quiet and timid. That's not me at all. When it comes to confronting, I can do that. I know I have a good friend here, and she says, you confront, but you do it in the right way. I said, well, you got to do it in love, but you got to be firm, and they got to get the point. But anyway, I just want to thank all of you for being here and supporting us all these years. It's been quite a ride, but a good one. Thank you for supporting Terry, you know, when he was in the hospital, and the staff picked it up and just ran with it. They didn't miss a beat. And we love them and always appreciate them just as much, because without them, we could not do our job. And thank you from the bottom of our heart. We love you, and be blessed in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. I don't really know where to start. 23 years as your senior pastor, 6 years as your associate pastor, and 3 years as a member. So we started about 32 years ago here, and it's gone by quick. I was telling her today, coming up the road, that it just seems like just a few months ago we just got here, you know. But we are here today because of God, because of His call on our lives. And the video is right. She did not want to be a pastor's wife. She told me that after we were married. I'm not going to be a pastor's wife. And I said, I'm not going to be a pastor. We don't have to worry about that. But God had different plans. So there's a long story and all that. But God spoke to both of us that this was what we were supposed to do. And in the process of that, I didn't know anything about it. And even coming as associate pastor, I didn't know anything about that either. But you put up with me as an associate pastor for 6 years. And then Pastor Roger left, and uh, I really didn't want to come as a senior, as an associate pastor. I was at her selling these, and he said, "You need to pray about this." And in my mind, I said, "I ain't praying about none of that." And about 8 months later, he came and said, "Are you? Did you pray about it?" And I said, "No." And he said, "Well, you need to go pray about it." So we prayed about it, and Lord really spoke to our hearts and said, "This is what you're supposed to go do." So I left the career of being in engineering and construction and all that, knowing that God was going to do it. He's going to do it. We just have to show up. We just have to be committed to Him, and He'll do the rest of it. So in the process of coming and serving, and I ask you guys, I don't know if you remember, I asked you guys when I took the senior pastor job, that I know nothing about what I need to do. So if you'll go with me, we'll learn together how I'm supposed to pastor and how you're supposed to be the flock. We'll do it together. And you have graciously walked with me, us, during those years, and we are so grateful. The leadership that we have behind us, the pastors and the elders, the directors, and the members, you are the greatest people, and I thank God for you. I truly, truly do. And I want to give you a couple, two or three things that I want you to remember. Is one is this: live Christ out loud. Say that.
Live Christ out loud.
Out loud. He's not a secret. He's nothing to be ashamed of. Live Him out loud. That means to anybody and everybody. Live Christ out loud. Number two, support the vision of where you go to church. Support the vision here. Be an active member of support. We can't complete anything without you. As the pastor said concerning equipping the saints, we can only do so much. We do our part. You have to step up to do the work of the ministry. So the number two is support the vision. Say support the vision.
Support the vision.
That's the second thing. Third thing and last thing is the fact that you be involved. Say that.
Be involved
in the ministry. Be involved and what we're doing. Don't just warm a seat. Be active. Get involved. And in doing those three things, you'll live up to our logo. And our logo is what?
Love God, love people, and make a difference.
God bless you, and we love you so much.
Thank you. I wanted to say one more thing. When Terry told me, he felt like the Lord had called him to be a pastor, and I was thinking, Lord, what have you done to me? And after he came to the church, and we were probably here, he was probably senior pastor a couple of years, and the Lord called me into the healing ministry, which I thought, me in the healing ministry, but God sent people along beside me to help me, and I got some training on how to pray for people. And today, Healing Rooms has been open 18 years, and we have people to come from everywhere: Charlotte, Anderson, Greenville, Asheville, all over. Come to Healing Rooms, and it's the strangest thing. We get calls from people. How did you find us? We went to the Spokane, Washington website because we're members of International Healing Rooms, and our name is on there. For some reason, they call us, and there's a whole list of healing rooms. It's just amazing because there's healing in this house. And I want to invite you to come to Healing Rooms if you've never been, every Tuesday from 6:30 until 7:30. So be blessed in Jesus' name.
Amen. I know there's more to do, but I guess you're going to say something, I guess. You came up here for something, right? Anyway, I want to leave you with this. And guess what? It's a line from
Tombstone.
And it's like this. Well, I didn't think you had it in you. I'm your Huckleberry.
A quick announcement about that video, guys. You had over 35 minutes of people talking and wanting to share what they felt about you. And I was under instructions by the staff, keep it under 4 minutes. So I say that to, they're going to get all of those videos that y'all sent and everything is sent. It's on a hard drive for them to watch over the week as they relax and everything so that you can see that. So I just want to tell you guys, if you didn't see your comments in full context, there's a reason, because we had 35 minutes to keep under 4 minutes. So your heart and your words will be shared to them, so they'll be able to see that. A couple announcements real quick. Reminder, the AI class this Saturday at October 25th at 10 a.m. For security. Make a note of this. November the 9th at 6 p.m., we're having our volunteers banquet. So all the volunteers in here, we want you there at the FLC. Please sign up at the Communication Center. Let us know that you're coming so that we know how many to prepare for. And you can also sign up on the website. But November the 9th, go ahead and mark that on your calendars. We're going to have a big banquet. And we've got a lot of volunteers in here, so we want to see all of you. New members class will start November the 2nd. November the 2nd, we have a new members class at 9:30. If you'd like to be a member, sign up today. Sign up today. And if you were a visitor today, if this was your first time and you'd like to meet Pastor after service, he'll be at the back. And I would like to quote, when it's appropriate, something from Tombstone, but only when it's appropriate.
I trust you.
Well, let me pray. Are we done?
I'm done. Y'all done?
Well, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May his face shine upon you, and may he go before you in all that you do this week. In the name I pray, amen. And here's the Tombstone quote. You may go now.
Thank you for joining us today. We hope today's worship and study of God's word was encouraging to you. If we can help you in any way, please reach out to us by going to fathersvineyard.org. That's fathersvineyard.org. Thank you again, and we hope we can see and hear from you soon. Until next time.